Plant on the Line program here at thecommentary.ca. Ben Mulrooney is the host of CTV's eTalk Daily and Canadian Idol. This summer he was appointed a National Ambassador for UNICEF Canada. He has just returned from a week-long trip to Africa, where he saw firsthand the work of UNICEF in Malawi. The Madonna adoption story of recent weeks has sort of put the country on the map, and perhaps unfortunately so. We'll find out what he's seen there and more this morning. Please welcome once again to the Plant on the Line program, Ben Mulrooney. Good morning, Mr. Mulrooney.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How did your association with UNICEF begin?
I think it began when I was, I don't know, about 6 years old, and I first went out with a UNICEF box and raised funds for UNICEF, as has been the tradition in Canada for 50 years. But in my capacity as a national ambassador, it was as simple as receiving a phone call from them, and they said, "Ben, we'd very much like it if you came on board." And because of the relationship that kids have with UNICEF over the course of their childhood, I have such fond memories of the organization that I jumped at the chance.
Now, one of the things that I was reading about over the summer, and you explained this in when you talked about your role, was that the orange boxes that we saw at trick-or-treat time would be phased out. I wasn't around this week for trick-or-treating, so I didn't see what the kids were carrying around. They couldn't collect when they were collecting candy, or...?
No, well, there is no orange box anymore. UNICEF believed that, and I think that they were right, that it was time to change the tradition of Halloween and UNICEF and the relationship between the two. I think kids in this country want to do more than just strap a box to their necks and go out and get raise a few quarters while they are while they're getting candy for themselves. And make no mistake, it's been a very, very successful relationship over the past few years. I believe that the average take every year for the past 15 years has been about $3 million. But you've got to remember, if there's a snowstorm in Calgary, the numbers are going to be down in Calgary. And if there's a windstorm in southern Ontario, well, you can expect fewer kids going out, which means less money coming into UNICEF. And so this year they decide to reinvent the whole thing and say, you know what, kids want to do more. So instead of just giving them a box and saying, go raise money for UNICEF, we're going to make them part of this plan. We're going to teach them over the course of a month through their schools and their communities and with their parents where this money is going to go. And we are giving them the chance to be as creative as they want in their fundraising ideas. And we start at the beginning of the month of October, and we end, and it culminates on National UNICEF Day, which is Halloween. And on Halloween, we give everyone who participated in the campaign gets rather than walking around with a UNICEF box, they get a bag, a UNICEF bag that they can then collect candy with. And so they're hoping that that this creates more of a sense of awareness of the program and of where the money is going, and gets kids a little more invested in the entire process instead of turning them into simple change-collecting foot soldiers.
And the funds raised in Canada support efforts in Malawi, which you saw, correct?
Yes. Half the funds this year go directly to a program called Schools for Africa, which is done in partnership with the Nelson Mandela Foundation. And this year they've targeted Malawi, where schools clear across the country are being rehabilitated because it's one of the poorest countries in the world, and I got to see what that means firsthand. And I try to tell kids in Canada, I say, you know, imagine yourself sitting in your classroom, and then take away the desk, take away the walls, the roof, the books, the teacher who knows what they're doing, take away the washrooms and the running water, take away any sort of athletic activities that you would have after school, take away your shoes, the bus that takes you to school, and the house that you live in. And that's pretty much the experience that a student in Malawi has. That's what they consider a school. And it's so, like I said, because the tradition has changed this year, these kids in Canada get to know who they're sending funds to, why they're working, and I think gives them the fuel to do it over a longer period of time.
And what are some of the needs in Malawi that you saw? I guess AIDS is one throughout Africa, starvation, the desire for education, clean water.
Pardon me?
What are some of the needs in Malawi?
Oh, gosh, everything from bed nets, for anti-malarial bed nets, to HIV testing to infrastructure. It's one of the, like I said, one of the poorest countries in the world. Name a problem and they have to face it. And that was one of the things that I realized is you need organizations like UNICEF that have history in these nations, that don't just go in and throw money at a problem, but rather they understand the culture and they understand the communities and the and they work with the communities to address a series of problems in combination, because without doing that, you can't truly solve any of the problems. I think specifically of gender inequality in the classroom. It's very nice to give gender sensitivity courses to teachers and students, but if you don't go into the communities and speak with not just the parents but the community leaders who really have a traditional male-dominated sort of take on the community, if you don't convince them that these girls deserve just as much time and access to their schools, no matter what you do within the school, nothing's going to change.
And how do they react to people like yourself who come into their country telling them, you know, that this is what they need? Or
well, fortunately, I'm not doing that. Fortunately, I'm coming in. I would never assume that just because someone gave me a really nice title that all of a sudden I know anything about their experiences. I was there simply on a mission to learn. And I was there with people who have great expertise in these matters. And when you go with a group like UNICEF, you say UNICEF in countries like Malawi, and they know that whatever situation they are in, it will improve. They know that UNICEF is there only to help. UNICEF is not there to take over. UNICEF is not there to impose any sort of will. UNICEF works in conjunction with community leaders, government leaders, administrators, and it doesn't go in there and say, this is how things must be done. They look for solutions together, and you know, they see that they see that logo, and they know it's a positive thing that's about to happen.
And you were able to see that the money raised by Canadians was able to be put to good use?
Oh, absolutely. I saw a number of schools. I saw one that was, we'll call it the before school, which is what I described to you earlier about the rocks and the outdoor. And then I saw an after school, a school that had received funds from the Nelson Mandela Foundation that working with UNICEF, and they had brand new facilities and books and uniforms and teachers' quarters because it was a fairly remote area, and running water and lavatories, both male and female. But a whole new set of problems cropped up. After they had built these schools, enrollment practically doubled overnight, which meant now they need to receive even more funds because they're dealing with an overcrowding situation that they never anticipated.
And how did they react to Madonna and the furor that sort of?
Oh, they don't.
They don't.
With the exception of what's on the cover of the newspapers in Malawi, which, by the way, most of the people in these villages do not read. They have, if they know about it, they certainly aren't talking about it. I believe that they have very hard, difficult lives that do not revolve around the priorities that we over here set for ourselves. I think they're busy trying to live an experience that is completely different than our own.
Talk to me about what the trip to Malawi has done for you. Has it enlightened you anyway? Has it changed your perspective, do you think?
Well, I don't think it changes my perspective. I think as Canadians, I think we pride ourselves on being a little more aware of the global circumstance than other nations, and so I always believe that I knew what was going on, but I was taken out of my comfort zone and obviously placed somewhere else, and that in and of itself gives the problems over there a sense of realism, a heightened sense of immediacy that you can't get away from. I find myself wondering about people that I met and wondering what's going on in their lives, and this is, you know, I think we've all been beaten over the head by images on television, and sometimes that can lead to desensitization. I think this was a resensitization that I went through when I went there.
And how can Canadians get involved, not only at Halloween, but throughout the year?
It's very easy. People can just go to unicef.ca. There are a slew of options where they can click and give money directly. There are fundraising options. short-term, long-term. There are all sorts of ideas that they can get involved with. There's all sorts of information as to where the money goes. And, you know, this is UNICEF has been around for years. It's going to be around for years. And like I told them when I first joined on, in my life, I have never heard the word scandal or anything negative associated with UNICEF. UNICEF is a well-run organization of professionals who dedicate themselves to the single mission of helping kids. And if that's not an organization that people want to get involved with, then those people have to wonder what's wrong with them.
Now, your role as an ambassador, does that end here? Or?
No, I hope to continue for years on this.
And what kind of future missions or future work will you be doing?
I think next year. I think because we were so focused this year and we wanted to, I think the success of working with one nation and getting kids involved in it and really focusing them like a laser on one targeted goal, I think that'll be what we do next year as well, whether it's still Malawi or another country remains to be seen. But I believe there will be more of the same. Also, I want to do more to capture the attention of the generation between the kids and the parents, because we've got the kids, no problem, and we have their parents because the kids need their help. But it's that generation in between, my generation, really, the late 20s, early 30s sort of thing, with a lot of disposable income and a lot of spare time and frankly, a lot of imagination and a lot of willingness to work with charitable organizations. I want to get them involved next year. So we've been brainstorming a little bit on how to get bankers and you know, those the yuppies, if you will, involved in this sort of endeavor.
And what has it done, I guess, for the work that you do on eTalk Daily? I guess to be away from Reese Witherspoon and Borat for a week, I mean, that must have been freeing in a way, I guess.
Well, it definitely exercises a different part of your brain, and it's nice to be able to conduct interviews or be interviewed on different subjects. I think it's a little bit refreshing. And, yeah, I love my job. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Fortunately, I work at CTV with a bunch of people who are very, very supportive of this project and wanted to make sure that I did have the time and I had the ability to go over there. And they've been excessively supportive, and I couldn't have done it without them.
Well, Ben, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I do appreciate you taking the time. UNICEF.ca is where people can hit up the website and support this well-worth cause, I suppose.
Great, thank you so much.
Ben Mulrooney is a National Ambassador for UNICEF Canada.